Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you're with us this day. And we're going to finish up today our little mini-series on brokenness, and then we're going to move on in our study of the Gospels. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and open our spirits. And Lord, enable us, illuminate our minds, so that we can understand your truth today, and so it will be life-changing in our lives. And we pray this, anoint me so I can preach it properly. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, say that again with me. Come on, amen and what? Amen. You got it. Now, as you know, we've been in a series on brokenness, and last week, my message was a little long, and I know that. But I've had a few people remind me. You know, I don't have any written notes. I think about what I'm going to say, and I pray about it, of course. But it just comes from my heart. So sometimes I can get carried away with one too many illustrations about God's power, like Finney and Moody, one would have done, maybe. And anyway, today is going to be short. I'm going to make up for it. We're going to go right to it and get it done. Okay. Remember our series of brokenness. We talked about John chapter 12. A seed has to fall in the ground and crack open for the life to spring out of it. I was eating a peach last night and the peach seed. I thought about that. That inside is this life. But that peach kernel, that seed, is so hard. It's got to be broken before that life can get out. And same's true with us. The Holy Spirit's in us once we're a believer. But the whole self-life thing, the flesh, self-confidence, self-reliance, self-wisdom, self-centeredness, selfishness, all of that stuff, self-glory, all of that's got to be broken for God to be able to move through us. And then we talked about the process, and we said that God does it with one bedrock, smashing blow to begin. We're like cracking that walnut. And then he continues enhancing the brokenness experience for the rest of our life. But one bedrock experience cracks the kernel open. You may say, how will I know when it is? Oh, you'll know it. Yeah, it'll take you right to bedrock, where you've got nothing to rely on, nothing to trust in, but the Lord himself. There's no arrogance left, and he's brought you down to ground zero. Yeah. And then we talked about the product. What happens when we're broken? Well, we get a new intimacy with God. We get a new power from God. And we are able to relate to people in a new way, without being a porcupine Christian, without being unteachable. We're able to forgive. We're not defending our turf all the time. Why? Because when God took us to bedrock, he showed us what we really were, and that he loved us anyway. And so we don't have to defend anything. He's our defender, and we can admit we're wrong and, you know, whatever. We have no turf to defend anymore. After all, the Lord's forgiven us that we learned about at our bedrock experience. Of course, how could we refuse to forgive them? So, now we're at part four, which is the problem. You say, what's the problem? Well, that's what the message is about. The problem. And the problem is several fold. Number one, you say, well, if this is true, why aren't more people broken? Christians. That's the problem. Number one, there's three reasons that I see. Number one is ignorance. And I know that's kind of a nasty word, you're ignorant. That's not what I'm saying. Lack of information, lack of understanding of the principle of brokenness. When's the last time you ever heard a preacher preach on this? When's the last time you ever had a Bible study deal with this? or small group lesson deal with this. I mean, you can come into the Christian life, trust the Lord, go through your entire Christian life, and never hear about brokenness or be encouraged to consider volunteering for it. Therefore, people just don't know about it. They don't understand it. They're confused. If God tries to break them, they just get angry and at God. Why are you doing this to me? You know, or they fall into self-pity. Woe is me, like Job did. Or they begin to blame themselves with false guilt that they must have done something wrong. They don't understand. That's the value of a lesson like this. And that's why I wrote my book, Brokenness, where I hope we're talking to a wonderful guy who owns a printing company about getting this back into print and maybe some other work into print. So you can pray about that for me, please. I asked you a couple weeks ago if you know somebody who owns a publishing company, let me know, and somebody did. It's wonderful. I talked to the gentleman last week. So thank you for that. First problem, confusion, ignorance. Second problem is stubbornness. And what I mean by that is the flesh, doesn't want brokenness. The flesh doesn't want to be shattered. Our self-life doesn't want to be ended and choked out in our life. No, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. That's what Galatians 5 says. The flesh is contrary to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you want. So if you think that your flesh is just going to volunteer for brokenness eagerly, not happening. No. And it's going to try to convince you that you're fine just like you are. Even as a Christian, that you're fine just like you are. That you're giving and you're not selfish and you're not seeking glory. And you go to church, and you read your Bible, and they're not proud in the flesh. And they're not haughty in the flesh. And they're not self-reliant. And they're not unholy in their heart when it comes to relating to other people. The opposite sex, people they're jealous of at work, and they don't need to forgive because that person deserves not to be forgiven. Anyway, the flesh will whisper these things in our ear and tell us we're fine when we're not fine in the sight of a holy God. Hey, we may be fine in the sight of other people, but we're dealing with a holy God who sees everything in us down to the bare bones from a holy perspective. Now, this is why Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me, I am undone. Meaning in Hebrew, I am coming apart at the hinges. I'm undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Hey, Isaiah was probably the most righteous human being on the earth in his day. But see, in the presence of holiness, suddenly we begin to realize what we really are. The flesh is unmasked. The flesh is uncovered. The flesh is revealed for what it really is. And all we can do is do what Isaiah did, and that's mourn over what we are in the flesh. Mourn over the things we think about other people and how evil and mean and mean-spirited those things are that we think. Mourn over the unholy way we look at people of the opposite sex. Mourn over our mind, our dirty mind, our evil mind, and some of the things we think about other people. Mourn over our lack of ability to obey the scriptures. Mourn over the pride and the arrogance and the self-sufficiency that we suddenly learn is in us. Our heart is broken before a holy God. But you see, until you let God break you, you don't see the flesh that way. You can't. And so this is the second problem. Deception. The flesh deceives us into thinking we're fine. We don't need brokenness. We're fine. Just the way we are. And the third and final hindrance is fear. After teaching this to you, if I were you, the first thing I would be thinking is, this man is crazy. He's crazy. We would say in Yiddish, he's meshugana. He teaches me that God's going to shatter me in my finances or my health or with my children or whatever. And then he wants me to volunteer for it? What's wrong with this guy? He's crazy. Nuts. To be honest with you, I'm afraid of the hand of God in breaking me. Why would I want to volunteer for that? It's terrifying to think what God may have to do to me. What he did to Moses, what he did to Peter, what he did to Joseph, what he did to the Apostle Paul, what he did to David, and on and on and on. What he did to Ruth and Naomi. Why would I want that? And I'm scared of it. You know what? I totally understand. I get it. When I ask God, as a brand new Christian, just weeks old in the Lord, to do whatever he had to do in my life, I told you this, to make me able to serve him with power. I had no clue what I was really asking for. Holy smokes. But I was serious, and I meant it. And you know what? As I told you a couple weeks ago, God did it. Was it painful? Yes. Did it hurt? Yes. Did it shatter you and Brenda? Yes. Are you glad God did it to you? Yes. Now I can say that. But I will say this, even through the roughest of those times, there was always the overwhelming sense that God was with me, that God was there, that God was sustaining, that God, 1 Corinthians 10:13, would never tempt me beyond what I'm able, but would make a way of escape that I might be able to bear it. And he was right there. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. In his presence, I could feel it, even through the pain. Some of us know what this is like if we've had a child or a friend who's been through a really, really tough time. Maybe they've been in the hospital, for example, and been through an operation, and they're not in great shape coming out of this operation. But you were there, and you don't leave them, and you're reassuring them. and you're holding their hand, and you're stroking their forehead, and you're kissing their forehead, and you're telling them that you love them, and you're telling them words of comfort. That's worth more than you could ever imagine. And that's how the Lord takes us through brokenness. When I had my heart surgery, I remember my sons, Justin flew in from California, and James, who lives in the Washington area, was here. He's an anesthesiologist. And John, who also does anesthesia, was down in Raleigh. He drove up. And the night before my surgery, we all had the Last Supper. We were just joking. I'm glad it wasn't the Last Supper. And you know what I had for the Last Supper? You say, well, you better have had fish and loaf. No, you know what we had for the Last Supper? P.F. Chang's. I love P.F. Chang's. And James, my oldest son, said, Dad, this is really, like, surreal. You're going in for open-heart surgery and bypass tomorrow, and you're sitting here eating high-salt P.F. Chang's. Hey, it's what we did. But you know what? They came to the hospital after I came out of surgery, and I don't remember much after that surgery. I was doped up pretty heavily, but I remember my boys being there. And I remember them coming over, telling me they love me. And I remember Brenda holding my hand. I remember that. And that gave me strength and encouragement. This is what God does when we go through brokenness. He's there. So, it's kind of like we fear it till it happens. And then it turns out that our fear was probably magnified more than it really was. You know, most people anticipating something they don't like, the fear is worse than the actual experience turns out to be. All I can tell you is, yes, I understand the fear. Totally. But I'm telling you, I'm assuring you, God will be there holding your hand, whispering in your ear, and giving you strength in the inner man. If you volunteer for this. Now, that's the end of the series, but it's time to ask our most important question. Are you ready? We haven't done this in a couple weeks. Are you ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yeah, baby. And somebody sent me a new picture of Jackie. Look at this one. You see this one? That's Jackie, baby. And how sweet it is. Or as Jackie would say, how sweet it is. It is sweet to be able to share this with you. And you say, now, Lon, what are you going to do? You're going to try to encourage me to volunteer for brokenness? Going to try to put pressure on me? Going to try to make me feel guilty if I don't do it? Going to try to make me think I'm a substandard Christian if I don't do it? No, I'm not, friends. Not at all. Uh-uh. No, I got to tell you, when it comes to brokenness, this is one of the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. One of the deep things of God. And I love Psalm 42, where the Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. This is something where the Holy Spirit, the depth of his deepness, the depth of his deepness, well, you know what I mean, in his deepness, is calling to people's spirits in their deepness. This is not surface truth. And not everybody is going to volunteer for this. And I understand that. This is why good soil, if you remember, in the parable, Jesus says, when the seed lands on good soil, it brings forth fruit. And then what he said, look at what he said, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. So there's a recognition here by the Lord Jesus that not everybody's going to bring forth 100-fold fruit. Not everybody's going to volunteer for brokenness and be used at that level. So let me just say in closing, now you understand the principle. This is not something that I want to try to force you into. If you want to do it, you understand how to do it. If you understand, the principles. It's up to you. You can be very happy without doing this as a believer, going to church, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, reading your Bible, and going to heaven. You don't have to do this. Heaven's not based on volunteering to be broken. The question is, what does your spirit really want? And that's an individual thing. So I'll leave you with that. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for teaching us over these last several weeks that some of the deep things of God, the principle of brokenness, the example of men and women in the Bible who volunteered for this, who had this happen to them and let you do what you needed to do in them. And Lord, I pray that you would guide everybody who hears this to do what their spirit is comfortable doing. Please assure everyone that people who don't want to volunteer for brokenness, they're not substandard Christians, they're not shallow Christians, they just don't want to do this, and that's okay with you. But for those who do want to do it, Lord Jesus, honor their prayer and gently and mercifully do your work in their life and release the Holy Spirit in their life in great power beyond human logic or human expectation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Okay, next week we're going to pick up and move forward in John's Gospel. I hope this has been a helpful series for you. And I'll let you know if and when we're able to reprint the book, Brokenness, so that you can order it if you want. Okay. Thanks for letting me come into your home and into your life. It's a privilege, and I appreciate it. Thanks for watching. Tell a friend about us. God bless.